First John chapter 4 today, 1 John chapter 4. Thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It's a blessing. Amen. The Bible says that we're taught of God to love one another. So God's teaching us all the time. We're growing in grace and knowledge. We read the word as newborn babes. We desire the sincere milk of the word that we might grow thereby. But our growth never stops. We mature in the Lord, and God is love, so, I mean, that has to be a part of our life. And God does that. God accomplishes that in our life. Love is a hard word to define. Amen? And there's all kinds of definitions for us, but we love God. God loves us. And that's the essence of Christianity. And we'll see that as we get into the message. Before we read our text, I just want to lay a little background here. In Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, and there are a host of verses like this. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before your God. So God wants us to love mercy and to be merciful. Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. There's another verse that talks about, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. That's loving the scriptures. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. And again, there's so many verses. You'll probably find a verse on every page of the scripture that talks about that love. Charles Wesley wrote a number of wonderful songs, but one was, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. It's a blessed song. Remember in the Old Testament, I think it's 1 Kings 11, Solomon was warned by God not to love strange women. And what he meant by that is women that worshiped other gods. And so Solomon didn't keep that in his mind. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Boy, that is tough. Amen? I mean, I really love my wife. I better stop there. I better just stop right there. 700 wives, 300 concubines. The verse is verse 2 of that chapter. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall ye come. They come into you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. And this is the scripture. It says, Solomon clave unto these, in love. And the verse goes on and says, his wives turned away his heart. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And when you have that pull all the time, sometimes your love for the Lord gets weak and your love for the world gets strong. That happened to Solomon. The history of Israel, so many verses, Deuteronomy 29, they went and served other gods, Judges chapter 10, they served other gods, Jeremiah, all the prophets talk about that. And so judgment came on the nation of Israel because of the idolatry, and they went into captivity for 70 years, the Babylonian captivity. But God was merciful. Amen? He always is. The prodigal can get so far away, but the father's always watching. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. He ran out to meet him. But God, it says this in Hosea chapter 11 and verse 4, God drew them back because God's a merciful God. And it says, to himself with the bands of love. God loved them right back. And that's what God does. Amen. I'm thankful that God loves me and that I experience that love. And I certainly love him. Some have never known God. And religion is not knowing God. It's knowing about God. The salvation that comes from the heart, that is really knowing God. Paul was in Athens. And as he was walking down the street, he saw all of these idols made to all kinds of gods. And then there was one idol made to the unknown god. In case they missed one, they didn't want to offend one of the gods, so they made an idol to the unknown god. And the Bible says, this is Paul speaking, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, in other words, they were devoted to these gods, they loved these gods, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown god, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Paul said in another text, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. God knew, or Paul knew God. These people didn't. And so he preached unto them. And he told them about a God that is so lovely, so gracious, so merciful. Who wouldn't want to be saved? Amen? One that will forgive your sins and comfort your heart and meet every need in your life, in your spirit, and give you all the blessings, spiritual blessings, in heavenly places. He's very attractive. Amen? But you have to know him to love him. And so we go to our text. This is 1 John chapter 4. And we will begin reading here in verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect. We love him because he first loved us. That'll be our text, that last verse. We love him because he first loved us. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the promises in the scripture. Thank you for the Spirit working in our hearts. Thank you that we can experience your love for us. And we pray, God, that we would love you with all our hearts, all our soul, all our strength, all our might. And Lord, when we're not able to do that or don't want to do that, you're always there. And I pray you'd minister to each heart now today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen and amen. I told Richard today, he asked something about my sermon. I said, I have 2 pages of notes. Amen? No amens? Okay. Let's forget that. But it says we love him because he first loved us. The first cause is God. Amen? We love him because he loved us. You have in 1 John chapter 3, if you look there, verse 16. Remember, John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is 1 John 3:16. Look what it says. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The love of God produces something in the life of a believer. It's a blessing. We have heard people, Memorial Day is coming up, and a lot of people have given their life for the freedom of our country, and they describe it for love of country. And many have sacrificed their very lives. We say God bless America, but what about America blessing God? Amen? He has blessed us, and we should thank him for a free nation and those who have died to keep it free. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, and all their focus was on religion and rites and feasts and all of those things and the temple. Boy, that was really important. And Jesus said this, I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. And that was him. Amen? So it's not the building, it's not the rules and regulations, it's a relationship with Almighty God through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. That means he's priceless. Amen? He was precious. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. It's beyond description. Now, just those verses make us or allow us to examine our heart whether we love him. And if you don't love the Lord the way you should, he gives instruction and help so we can do that. To love something is a wonderful feeling. Amen? To hate something is not such a good feeling. Right? Boy, it's a tough crowd today. We have a visitor. You can say, when I lift the card that says amen, you say amen. Okay. But I mean, these things are so true. And Romans chapter 5, here's where the Lord helps us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God is a spiritual work in the heart, in the soul of mankind. Galatians 5:22, This is the filling of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc., etc. But the filling of the fruit of the Spirit is love. We're to love one another. We're to love our neighbors as ourselves. We're to love our enemies and pray for those that despitefully use us. We're to love our children, our mates. We're to love our pets. Amen? That's an easy one. That's an easy one. And there's a Bible verse for it. It says in Proverbs 12:10, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. We have no trouble loving our pets. No trouble at all. I'm Papa, and my wife is Mom to our little dog. And we love that guy. I mean, a lot. And I better stop there. Amen? Because I could talk about that a long time. Now, if we're able to experience love for a dog, shouldn't we be able to experience love for Almighty God? Amen? I mean, it just makes sense. And again, we are limited. Without God, we are nothing. But with God, we can do all things. And so it's a spiritual work for us to love God. And God loves us already, but it's a spiritual work that God does in us so that we love him. Luke chapter 7, there's a story there about a woman that came to Jesus in a Pharisee's house. He was there having a meal. And she came and she washed his feet with tears, and she anointed him, and she just wept. She loved Jesus so much. And the Pharisee could not understand that and thought Jesus didn't know that she was a sinner, but Jesus knew that she was a sinner. And they had a dialogue and they talked for a while. But this is what the Lord finally said to him. I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. God has rescued us. Amen. And even if maybe we had a good moral life and you know, we weren't involved in a lot of bad sin, but he did rescue us from hell, did he not? And that's enough to love him for. What motivates us? We love him because he first loves us. Fear does not motivate us to love God. Fear does not draw us to God. Remember Adam and Eve? Adam, where art thou? They were afraid and hid themselves because they had sinned. And fear has people running from God. They don't want God to see them. But the Christian, he wants God to be near him and close to him because he is not afraid of the Lord. Amen? He reverences God, but he's not afraid of God. And there's a mercy seat. There's a throne of grace. He wants to approach God because God will receive him and bless him and forgive him. That's what motivates us. For the sake of the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22 and 23. Somebody wrote this: if you do something for the sake of something, you do it for the purpose or in order to achieve the results. You can also say that you do it for something's sake. And then here's an example. For safety's sake, never stand directly behind a horse. Amen? For safety's sake. Right, Richard? Yeah, that's a good idea. I think you got kicked one time. We won't even talk about it. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Romans chapter 13, other places, Bible says, for conscience' sake. It's good if you have a conscience. Amen? Not your conscience seared as with a hot iron, but a conscience where God can just speak to you and he touches that conscience. That keeps you from doing the wrong thing. Amen? So for conscience' sake. We have Philemon chapter 1, verse 9. For love's sake. Boy, that's a powerful motivator. Ephesians 4:32, but here is what we want to talk about today. For Christ's sake. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Boy, I just take pleasure. When there's a trial, I just take pleasure. A man, I have a real need, I just take pleasure. That's tough, isn't it? But when you add for Christ's sake, that makes it all worthwhile because God's using that circumstance for his glory. For when I am weak, then am I strong. We depend on the Lord to get us through, and we honor him and praise him. We have Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. That is a strong love, that you can sacrifice and suffer for the sake of Christ to accomplish something. 1 John 3:16, again, hereby we perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. So we're identified with that principle. He laid down his life so people could be saved. Amen? And there's no greater love. And so he says, for us to lay down our lives so that the cause of Christ would go on. It's a blessing. We love him because he first loved us, but that love motivates us to do things for his sake. Does that make sense? Did I confuse you? Are you still with me? Okay, here's the sign. Okay, two of you read the sign. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. That's what Easter's all about. Man, aren't you glad for Easter? Yeah, because I live, ye shall live also, he says. Amen. So he died for our sins. He paid the payment for our sins. He's alive now. And we come to church and we say, boy, thank God, I love him for doing that. And he says, now apply that to your life for his sake. In John chapter 14, verse 15, by the way, we love him because there's a reason we love him. The people that you love, why do you love them? You know, there's a reason that you love them. And God has knit your heart to some people. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, this might sound like, oh boy, you know, this is a message from God where you got to do this and you got to do that. I think you'll see there's a difference here. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says that so that we can be blessed. By the words of my mouth, I have kept thee from the paths of the destroyer. We're saved. We read the scriptures and it tells us how to be saved. So praise the Lord for the Bible. 1 John 5:3. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It's not hard to do. If you love your wife, amen, do the dishes once in a while. Maybe for Christmas. Amen? Once in a while for Christmas. Run the sweeper, I don't know, twice a year. You know, I mean, and you do things for people that you love. Amen. That's a blessing. Remember the Old Testament story about Jacob, and he was going to marry Leah, and he got tricked and he married Leah, but he had to work 7 years for Rachel. 7 years. That's pretty tough. But this is what the Bible says. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. 7 years is not, that's not a big price to pay for her. Amen? So the commandments are not grievous. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Why would we want to do that? Because that love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's a fruit of the Spirit, that love. What would hinder that? Okay, we're going to look at some scriptures today. And Mark, this is my introduction. And so I hope you didn't have to be anywhere before 3. Amen? Turn in your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we will start there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Why would our love for the Lord be hindered? Verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, what a list, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The principle there is lovers of their own selves, or lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So we see that. That just like it happened to Solomon. your love can be taken away. Turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. We'll read some verses there. This is the church at Ephesus. And so God says unto the church of Ephesus, right? Chapter 2 and verse 2. I know thy works and thy labor. This is a local church. And thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Boy, that was a pretty good place. Amen. Their doctrine was right. They were working for the Lord. But look what the next verse. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come quickly unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So God gives a solution there. He says, when you've left the first love, or our love for the Lord grows cold, and there's all these other voices calling us away from the Lord, he says, remember, while I was musing, the fire burned. While I was thinking about it, the fire burned. Remember what I've done for you. Remember my sacrifice, all the blessings of his ministry to us. And then he said, repent, and you can get back to your first love. We'll see a little bit more of that in a minute. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That Christianity is a spiritual work. Loving God is a spiritual work. You just, okay, I'm going to love him. Doesn't work like that. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It just naturally grows. Take root downward, bear fruit upward. Tree planted by the rivers of water bringeth forth its fruit in its season. So if you watch a fruit tree, it's not straining. It's just a natural process. And so we're planted in the house of God, the Bible says. And that word nourishes us. And that Spirit blesses us. And it produces love, joy, and peace. Behold, amen? You can't have peace without the Prince of Peace. And so that's something that God does for us. Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, why is the Spirit at work in our hearts? Because it wants to bring glory to God. Amen? It wants to praise the Lord. We have sing in the Spirit for the Lord's sake. Why do we sing? We want to praise God. So the Bible says sing in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit for the Lord's sake. Walk in the Spirit for the Lord's sake to please him. Why? Because he first loved us. He first loved us. I love being loved. And I love to love. I don't always do it. There are some things that I just don't like to do. Amen? You say, are there people you don't like? No, I love everybody. I just love everybody. Amen? And even your enemies, Pastor? Oh, especially my enemies. I love them so much. Don't we need God's help? Amen? You just need the Lord's help for all of this. And that honors the Lord because he has a purpose in all of that. It says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So it's a spiritual work. In 1 Peter 4, well, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Let's go back there just for a second. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. In Ephesians 5:9, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Galatians 5:22, we just quoted that. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. So that's a command. So we can enjoy peace and love and patience and long-suffering. Are you patient? You're going to wait for the train. You might as well wait patiently. Amen? But patience is a blessing. Amen? And sometimes it takes a trial to teach us patience, but God has always teach us. But it's a blessing to be content. Amen? It's a blessing to love and joy and have all of those fruit. God said that's possible. He says, be filled with the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. This is This is all about charity, which charity is love and work clothes. Okay, it's a manifestation of love. And verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Wow. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So here's a definition. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Oh, this is a good one. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Charity never faileth. It goes on and on and on. That's a good life. Amen. I don't know if you've ever gotten up and gone to work and everything went wrong. People took advantage of you and you're dealing with this. Maybe the neighbor's dog keeps coming in your yard and leaving you little treats, you know, and this and that. All the things you could think about, they're just coming in all the time. Isn't it a blessing to be able to give those things to the Lord and just have peace and long-suffering? Now take your Bible and look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And this will be all we're going to read. 2 Peter chapter 1. But the Bible is filled with instruction about this. And it's a blessing to love and be loved. That is a blessing. And it affects people. Paul said, the more I love, the less I'm loved. You don't sometimes get a response from people, but we speak the truth in love. And eventually that will help somebody. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, there are precious promises. We're partakers of the divine nature. In verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness. Keep going. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. You do these things and they abound in you, you won't be unfruitful. You will bear fruit and your life will really, really count for something. Charity's mentioned so many times in the Bible. 1 Peter 4:8, above all things have fervent charity. 1 Corinthians 16:14, let all things be done with charity. Colossians 3:14, above all these things, put on charity. Why? For Christ's sake. So people can see the love of God in us. Amen? So they can be touched by that love. In Revelation 2, as we read, remember wherefore thou hast fallen. So that's what God told them, to get that love back. There's a story back in the Old Testament, and there was a man, and he was chopping down a tree, and the axe head fell off. And it fell into the water. And he came up to the prophet that was there and he said, alas, master, it was borrowed. I borrowed this and I've lost the axe head. And profound, this is profound. The prophet said, where did you lose it? Amen? I mean, doesn't that make sense? He says, the axe head fell off. Oh, well, go to California and see if you can find it. You know? I don't think California was a state back then, but anyway. He says, where did you lose it? And he said, right here. And he took him to the place. Thank God he stopped swinging a handle at the tree. Amen. He recognized there's something wrong. My axe head is gone. The trees aren't falling. The chips aren't flying. What am I going to do? I'll ask the prophet. He'll know what God tells him to tell me. And he says, where did you lose it? And then he got the axe head back. Amen. Where did we lose our love? In Ephesians 2, they left their first love. They left it. When you come to chapter 3 and you talk about the church at Laodicea, there was lukewarmness. What happened there? And the Bible tells you in that chapter. Where did we lose that love for the Lord? If we've never had it, we need to accept Christ as our Savior, because that's love that will come into us. God is love. And Christ in you is the hope of glory. But if we've lost that love, if it's grown cold, if there's other things that have pulled it away from the Lord, then we need to look back at where that happened. Amen? Maybe you lost it at the prayer closet. If you go back to the prayer closet, maybe you lost it spending time in the Scriptures or not spending time in the Scriptures. And if you get back to that, I don't know what your testimony is, but it would be good to think about it. Amen? So you could go back and have that love and that blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ again. Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You have Romans 15:30. I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Paul is saying that because he was a missionary, and he was asking churches and Christians to pray for him as he ministered the word of God. And it was a blessing because it was for Christ's sake and for love of the Spirit. And where did we lose that fire? Where did we lose that love for souls? Matthew 5:41. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. This is called the second mile. And the Jews were in Roman bondage. I mean, they were in charge, the Romans were. And the question was, Lord, what should we do when we're compelled to go a mile? Which was Roman law. A Roman citizen could compel a Jew to carry his load for a mile. And Jesus said this, if they compel you to go 1 mile, go with them twain, go 2 miles. And we call that going the second mile. The first mile was the law. The second mile is grace. The first mile is I have to. The second mile is I want to. There's a blessing. This is what the Lord told me to do. I don't have to do this, but I'm doing this because this is what he said. What peace that gives. There's an old saying, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And, you know, we all need to love God. And when I say that, that's a blessing for us. That's not a command that robs us. Boy, I gotta love God. I got to do something for God. I got to pray. No, when that love is there, it's a privilege. Sweet hour of prayer, and we search the Scriptures, and boy, this is how God's directing my life. This is who he's going to help me to minister to. The second mile, it's a deed of charity or kindness beyond the demands of duty. Do you ever feel like sometimes, well, I got to do this. Well, I got to come to church, and he's going to preach for 45 minutes. I mean, why can't he talk for 30 minutes? 45 minutes? Really? You know? And I'm kidding, of course, because you would want me to preach for an hour and a half. Amen? Okay, four strikes, you're out. Why do we do what we do for the Lord? We ought to do it because we love him. Amen? And when we do, we're in the second mile. It's not have to. It's want to. And if you've ever experienced the second mile, boy, what a blessing it is. And in that second mile, don't stop short. In that second mile, boy, you can affect a lot of people. A lot of people. You'll begin to love what is unlovely. Because didn't the Bible say God commendeth his love toward us? And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners. Well, yeah, those sinners irritate me. Jesus will save them all. Amen? They need a witness. They need a spirit that talks to them in love. Speak the truth in love. Where do you sharpness? Because sometimes the Bible's sharp. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. But we are to use sharpness for edification, building up, not for destruction. We don't want to destroy people with the Bible. We want to see them see the importance of the Scripture and let that light shine. Amen? But it all comes back to loving God, being filled with the Spirit, and that joy and that peace. And God will direct our lives to so many souls that need him. I'm glad that happened to me. Happened to my wife. We're so thrilled. You know our testimony. God is good. And it says God is love. Not he loves, although he does, but God is love. We read that in 1 John chapter 4. Try and in your mind, go back to that time when it was so exciting to pray or witness to somebody or do something for or in the church. And boy, you just did it for the glory of God. Didn't matter who saw it. You just did it for the glory of God. Maybe we'll get back to that. We'd enjoy it. I don't know if you've ever cleaned the church. I've cleaned the church. And you know, you're here running a sweeper or doing something like that. You know what you want? You want everybody to have to stop at church. Just, oh, you know, I was passing by. Oh, yeah, I'm cleaning the church. And we have our reward. Amen? And our reward is when somebody sees us doing it. No, if nobody sees you doing it, you're doing it for the Lord. Praise the Lord. I could go on, but the Amen Corner is shut down today, so I think we will. Yeah, now you say, I say I'm done, and we say Amen. What a blessed crowd. I still love you, Richard. I still love you. Amen. And in just a minute, we'll be dismissed. We'll have fellowship together, some wonderful food there, and some good fellowship. But let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you that you love us. God, so love the world, and may we love the world, the people in the world. May we love souls. May we love to serve the Christ, the Savior of the world. I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you would teach us. Again, you teach us. We're taught of God to love one another. All of these verses. May it be so, Lord. If there's one among us today that has never experienced that, I pray that they would receive our Savior as their Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you that he died for all our sins and paid the penalty. Thank you for the verse that says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Grant that today, Lord. Bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's